there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the One Sinner Podcast. For those who don't know me, my name is Josue, but a lot of people call me Ty. A little bit about who I am and how I came about this podcast. I believe that God was speaking to me one night when I was reading my Bible, and it was in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, where it says, "In the same way I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous ones who do not need to repent." Amen. I was that one sinner. I was the one who strayed away from God and found myself at the lowest point of my life when I needed a savior, and he found me. He left the 99 to go and find me, and he can do it for you. I want to tell you about my testimony. I want to share to you my story on how I came to know Christ. And before that, I like to pray, because I want this podcast to be all about giving God the glory. I want to give the Father all that he needs in order for him to be able to allow us to use the Holy Spirit to speak to the people listening to this podcast, who are on this podcast, and I pray God moves through us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. I pray, God, that the people who are listening to this podcast can open up and speak to you, God, that they are not afraid to come to you for anything, God. The Bible says that if we ask, you will give. We have to meet you halfway. We have to surrender, God. And I pray that everybody who listens to this show, it's on this podcast, I pray, God, you use the Holy Spirit to guide us, Father, in order for us to be able to create more opportunities to tell others about you. I pray in the mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So before I go into my testimony, I want to be able to give you a little bit of background story on who I am. I grew up in a family. I had an older brother, younger brother, older sister. We went to church on Wednesdays. We went to church on Fridays. We went to church on Sundays twice. And my whole life, all I've ever known was there is a God. There is someone who created us. I have never known life without God. That's the thing. I've known of God, but I didn't really have a strong relationship and like I know him now. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would, you know, want to know God, but I just never really dug deep and got beyond the Bible stories, you know, that everybody knows, whether it's David and Goliath and Noah's Ark, you know, the ones that we hear growing up as kids, you know. But we begin to find ourselves as we get older, facing the world and facing the things that happen in our lives, you know. And growing up, I mean, I was just a normal kid. Like I said, going to church, didn't really get into too much trouble, hung out with my cousins, hung out with my friends, and, you know, we would be a little mischievous, but nothing that would ever make me feel like I disobeyed God. And that's key about my testimony, is I didn't ever feel like I truly disobeyed God. Now, even growing up as a teenager and getting into stuff that I shouldn't be getting into, you know, I never got tattoos, so once again, I thought, I haven't really disobeyed God. You know, I never, nothing against tattoos. I don't think that tattoos are going to not let you go into heaven, or tattoos are not going to, you know, let you have this relationship with God. No, it's not that. It's just I thought I was playing it by the book, the Bible, and saying that I'm not going to get tatted because the Bible says, you know, we shouldn't mark our bodies, you know, in the Old Testament. But that's the thing, is I was picking these verses and not truly engaging in the whole entire book, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, you know. So still, if fast forward, I'm growing up and I'm staying out of trouble. I just find myself, you know, finding myself kind of complacent. You know, I don't really feel like I'm doing bad. I'm a good person. I try to serve my friends, try to serve my family, help the poor when I can, feed the community and giving money and taking time to pass out, you know, meals and stuff like that. Because I think that being good is what's going to get me into heaven. Like, I don't need to disrupt God and do anything additional. I can just be a good person. And I carried that. And I'll be honest, I carried that majority of my life. When I thought that I knew Christ, when I thought that going to church was going to save me, when I felt like, I think that I just felt like by going to church and picking a devotional, it was going to lead me to Christ a lot closer, you know? It was going to allow me to have a better relationship with my Father. And I think that that's the misconception, is that we can't work our way to be closer to God. You know, we can't do these things to become more holy. We can't do actions unless we have faith fully first, you know? Being a good person is not going to be it. It's not what it's going to give you to heaven, you know? It's not going to get you into heaven. I even went to these local churches, a real good local church here in the Heights called Village Heights. And Bill and Hannah, they allowed me to slowly make that transition to go back into church. And I wanted to do it for my family. You know, I wanted to do it for the kids and to be able to show them that we need to be able to do this, like go to church, because I don't know. I just felt like this is what was going to bring me closer to God. Still not reading the Bible, still not praying deeply and profoundly, you know. So Bill and Hannah baptized me and I was like, that's it. I am now baptized. My wife got baptized. You know, we did everything that we need to do to get to heaven, right? We thought, not that baptism saves, but we know that that's like a outward expression of an inward change. So it's funny because it still wasn't the thing that I believed that I needed, was a true grasp of the Holy Spirit using me to use the Bible and prayer to be able to get closer to God. And that can only come when you remember, when you truly have faith in God and you have surrendered. And this is where I think I started to realize that I'm close to God, but I still don't know much of him. I don't know much besides the stories that I know of Jesus, that he died on the cross. He's the Son of God. He rose 3 days later. And that's right. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's true. That's right. That there's nothing that I'm trying to tell you is going to misguide you. What I'm saying is that it only works when you truly allow God to work in your life. You can say all the Bible verses, you can go to all these Bible studies, but if you're just going there and you're not fully like in it, then it's just pretty much going through one ear and going throughout the other. Because I lived that life. That was me. We're not talking about somebody else. We're talking about me. I think God was preparing something major in my life. I think God was slowly trying to find something that is going to cause me to humble me and bring me down to my lowest. I was at the top of my life. I felt like I just bought a home. I have a couple cars. I have my wife. I have my family. I know that Jesus died for me. My parents are here. I don't think I'm missing anything. But I think that that's where God is like, you still don't know me. You don't know who I am, truly. You don't know my flesh, Jesus Christ. I think it's time for you to notice. And that's where we come to this part of the podcast where we reach the testimony. It was in 2020 when the whole world stopped, the pandemic hits, and now there's this virus that's gone around and it's affecting people, right? And in the beginning, I'm good, right? In the beginning, I'm not trusting anything outside of the media. I'm not trusting anything outside of the public, anything. I'm putting my faith in God, but I'm still also saying, I'm going to do it by my own way, my own means. So the first year rolls out. I'm strong. I'm good, right? I'm still living that, you know, chill life. I'm going to church just locally. And then, you know, eventually the church in person stops. So, you know, it kind of just, what it does is just, it did something to me where I kind of went backtracked and I stopped going to church. We started doing the online, and then I slowly found myself going back to the world, listening to secular music, you know, watching movies that probably contain horror or something like that, you know, like that, or just throwing my spirit off, right, you know? But I'm good, I'm thinking, right? Like, I'm chill, I'm normal, I'm what the world would call normal. And then in 2021, once again, the whole COVID situation happens, and they're rolling out these vaccines and everything like that, and we're going to try to prevent the COVID from spreading, and I'm seeing people die because of they're getting sick, and it's starting to put fear in my life, right? Fear that I didn't really necessarily have, like, a place for, because I'm like, nah, man, I'm not fearing. It's not. And then it starts getting closer, right? It starts getting closer to the families and the neighbors, and then people are getting sick, and then coworkers, friends are dying, and I'm like, man, God, something's happening, and I think that there's got to be some sort of solution, and God's trying to call my name, right? God's trying to call me and says, put your faith in me, Josue, but it's still going through one year and going throughout the other, because I'm still in the world, even though I've kind of, you know, just came off of being in church and stuff like that. It just wasn't setting in, you know. My fear for what was happening with COVID was truly at overpowering God's faith, you know, and God's trust. And I think that, you know, towards the middle of the year, some of the family that I have through my wife, they got vaccinated. And lo and behold, they were telling people, hey, you can't work until you're vaccinated. You know, luckily my job where I'm at, they didn't do anything like that. They believe that people could take their own health into their own hands. And I'm blessed to have a company like that. So it started getting closer to home, you know. And in that moment, I would go back and forth with my niece and I would tell her, like, what do you think? You know, are you going to do it? Should I not do it? I'm 100% sure not. And then I kind of get into like 75% sure. And now I'm kind of 50% sure, you know, like, lo and behold, 1 week, my wife tells me, hey, my job's requiring me to do it, so I'm going to go ahead and get vaccinated. And I was like, okay. She's like, you don't have to do it, babe. But I guess at that moment, all the fear had just set in at one time. And lo and behold, you know, I guess it kind of convinced me, like, man, I love my wife and I love my kids. And I don't know, the fear overpowered the faith of God. And that's where I lost it, right? I ended up signing up, getting a vaccine. I didn't get both. I just got one. And that's whenever my world stopped. A few days later, after I had gotten vaccinated, I was like, what did I do? God, I told you I wasn't going to do this. What did I do? I felt, for the first time in my life, I disobeyed God. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why. You're probably hearing this and saying, like, I understand. Maybe I don't believe in the vaccine and, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with it, you know, but that's where God found me. He said, Josue, I have your attention now because now you have this moment of, I messed up. And now I found myself at the lowest point of my life. I felt like I did the irreversible. I was like, God, I'm no good to you no more. I went 34 years of my life and I did good. I stayed out of trouble. I didn't mess up. I didn't get tattoos. I didn't, you know, kill anybody, you know, like, why did I mess up? Why did I get vaccinated? And I couldn't shake it off. And it sat on me like a ton of bricks. I mean, literally, it was all I could think about. I could not sleep. I could not eat. I could not do anything. I'm going to work dead. I mean, I'm going to sleep just like I have made the worst decision of my life. And it took 3 days. It took 3 days, like Jonah in the well, like Jesus in the tomb. It took 3 days for me of just fully surrendering to God and asking him, please take this feeling away. I mean, I was at the lowest point. I did not want to live anymore. I don't know why. I don't know why it took a vaccine to finally, take me to find Christ. But it was because I finally felt that I disobeyed our Father. I disobeyed God. And the first day I called my brother and I'm crying to him and I'm like, bro, I messed up. Like, why did I do this? Why do I feel like God's not going to want me no more? And he reassured me and he's like, Josue, it's just a vaccine. Some people get it. Some people don't. A lot of messed up stuff has happened to me, but God still loves me and he still loves you and he's not going to leave you. And I thought about that and I appreciated it. And I let that first phase go through me. And I remember the second night, I called my boss, Jason, and I told him, I was like, Jason, I'm at Whataburger, right? And I'm crying out to Jason and I'm like, Bubba, I got vaccinated and I just have this regret, man. God don't want me no more, man. I messed up because I made this promise that I will never disobey him to where I'm no good to him, you know? And he reassured me too. He's like, Josue, it's nothing like that. It's just a vaccine. You've never disobeyed God that way. God loves you. God has given you so much. Josue, I think God's just trying to call your attention for something greater. I think it's your time to find out who he truly is. And I just, you know, going in and out of Whataburger, I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm stuck in this rut. And I appreciated everything that, you know, he told me. And that third day, you know, I come home after going to work and talking to my mom on the phone and still kind of like getting better, but slowly still just like, man, I can't believe I did this, you know? And I remember that night, I took a shower, everybody's asleep, you know, and I went in our shower and I just asked God and I'm like, God, I don't really think I've ever made a covenant with you. I've never truly said, God, I make a promise that I'm going to keep forever. I want to make a promise that if you get rid of this storm in my life, if you get rid of this feeling of cloudiness and like I don't want to live, I promise you, God, I promise you, I will read my Bible. I will go to church again. I will know you truly, fully commit my life. I'm not going back that way, the way that I came before. I'm not going to listen to that music that I was listening to before. I'm not going to watch those movies. I'm not going to speak. I need a savior. I need you to save me, God. I'm at the lowest point. I mean, I'm in the shower right now. What I'm saying that, you know, and I'm crying out to God. I'm on my knees. I can't even grip the soap because I'm just so broken. And God's like, Josue, you ain't gonna be able to grip this soap because I need you to like truly get down and like get on your knees and surrender. I thought I was going to find God at the tippy top of my life. I thought I was going to find God when I was at, you know, having dinner at the most, you know, nicest restaurants with my family all around me. I was at a great church and everything. I thought I was going to find the God, my God at my highest, but God found me at my lowest. And I think that that's where he finds everybody. He finds everybody when they're at their bottom because he's the foundation and he builds you back up. He needs to destroy all what you thought you knew about him and truly reveal himself to you, because religion tries to paint this picture of who he is. But the Bible says right there, everything who he is. And I remember crying and I'm on my knees praying in my shower, you know, and I'm like, God, please, I'm making this promise. I'm dying to myself tonight. And if you can just make me feel better, I promise you I'll never go back to that life again. And that next morning I woke up, I can promise you it felt like I was born again. It felt like I was sick and I just all of a sudden got better. I woke up with this new mindset that God forgave me, that God truly forgave me, but I had to do my part. And that was whenever I told my wife, I'm like, babe, I'm gonna read the Bible. I made God a promise that if he can make me feel better, if he can heal me, if he can take me and use me, I'm gonna allow him to do it. And that's when I started to read the Bible. I remember I was like, you know, if I'm gonna read this Bible, I gotta read something that I can understand, because automatically the King James Version was gonna be so difficult and I knew it was gonna deter me from, you know, being able to dive into the scriptures. And I bought me an ESV Bible because it's, you know, English Standard Version, and I felt it was easy enough for me to understand. And I didn't know where to start. So I asked, you know, my mom, and my mom was like, start in the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where you get to know truly Jesus right there. And I'll be honest, it was like the greatest experience I've ever experienced in my life after, you know, like after what had happened. I was like, God spoke through the word. I mean, reading Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, I got to truly understand who Jesus was and the miracles that he performed and how much he loved us and how he's always been in our lives. From the moment that we were born, God already had a purpose for us. And I became obsessed with Jesus. I just consumed it. I was listening to Christian music. I was listening to a Christian podcast with Tony Evans every morning. I became obsessed. And I can tell you one thing. I was on fire. I was on fire to read more and more about Jesus. And I'm just pushing through, you know, Acts and Romans and Ephesians and Galatians, and I can't tell you how the Bible has changed my life. And to this day, I'm still reading the Bible. This is my third time reading the Bible, and I cannot get enough. I feel like every time that I've read the Bible, God has put new testimonies in my life to be able to share, which I hope to share in the following episodes, you know. But I truly felt like the only way I can truly get to know God is by speaking to him daily, praying to him. And I'm not just saying like praying for your food. I'm talking about truly taking time to pray to him You know, it's so easy to watch a TV show for 30 minutes or watch a, you know, get on your phone and scroll for like 30, 40 minutes. But if you just sit there, you wake up in the morning and pray for like 10 to 15 minutes, God will begin your day and God will show you what He has planned for you. And I mean, this journey that I've been on, reading the Bible and praying, has elevated my spirit so much farther than I ever thought that I could. And I don't know, for me, it's been a game changer, right? For me, I've gained so much from it. And, you know, as I'm pushing through the New Testament, all the way to the Old Testament, God has just slowly just trickled in and revealed how we got here, right? How we got to know everything, whether it be creation or the, you know, the prophets that were here before us, and how the Bible and those prophets, they go through something because God uses them. And still to this day, we go through those things, you know. That's what's beautiful about the Bible, is that it doesn't expire. It doesn't have like this shelf life. No, God's word is living. It's a living bread that we need to consume daily. And as I'm reading through these books, you know, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and I'm like, man, my mom named me Joshua, and I always didn't like that name. I mean, I didn't like the name because I was like, I didn't want a biblical name. I just wanted something, you know, like just regular. So after reading what Joshua did and what he did with the Israelites, and, you know, I just believe like God was like, man, I'm so glad I told my mom that she named me Joshua, you know. And to this day, I tell her every day, I like, thank you so much for naming me, because he was a strong leader after Moses, you know, that God used. So I'm reading through these books, and I come across my first obstacle, right? I come across the first time where I'm going to be challenged for my time, because before, like months before, while I'm reading the Bible, nothing's challenging me. I mean, I'm consuming in the fire that God's using, you know, through the word. Football season comes about, and now we're talking fantasy football, the one thing that God has loved to, you know, like give me joy in, you know. So I'm just like, man, I'm making time to now watch football trainings, and I'm watching about football articles, and God's like, Josue, come on. You know, you're reading your Bible three times a day, you're listening to music, now you're listening to fantasy podcasts. Now instead of reading three times a day, you're just reading twice a day. Come on, let's get through this book. And I'm doing it, but I'm also getting distracted by football, right? So I get to the book of Job. And if you've never read the book of Job, it is truly one of the most inspiring books that is in the Old Testament, because Job finds himself fine and dandy, and he doesn't really feel like, you know what I'm saying, he's done wrong by any means. You know, God has actually blessed him in the beginning. And the devil says, hey, I want you to allow me to take Job off of this, you know, right track that he's on, and I bet you he won't worship you. And sure enough, God says, okay, you'll see, you know. So without going too further into the book, you know, it does end up depleting Job, and he finds himself at the bottom, at the lowest point of his life, and he's crying out to God still. But then he begins to question God at the very end. And he's like, God, I didn't deserve none of this. I mean, truly, like, you're taking away everything from me. And that's where God checks him and says, hey, you know, you weren't there when I was, you know, you weren't there when I created everything. So who are you to tell me what to do? And Job's like, you're right. I'm so sorry. And in tenfold, God gives Job more than what he had, more crop and more animals and more kids. And, you know, So what that pretty much means is that we can't question why God does things, even though we see only what's happening right now. God's preparing something greater for us. And I think that that's for everybody. If you've gone through some hard times in your life, God is going to push you through it because he knows that there's something bigger waiting for you. And the only way to accept it is to allow God to, you know, give it to you. You just can't get it. God's like, I need you to open up your hands. I need you to open up your heart and trust me, you know? So sure enough, I mean, football begins to kind of like, you know, take my time away. And the craziest thing happens. I'm playing fantasy football and I'm losing my first week in matchups. I'm losing my second week in matchups. 3, 4, here I am reading the Bible and I'm like, God, I'm doing the right thing. Okay, you win, God. Like, okay, you know, like I'm distracted, I guess, or whatever, but now I'm becoming a laughing stock like Job was, you know? Like, now I'm like, okay, are you trying to teach me something, God? Like, I can't enjoy fantasy football and you? But what God was trying to tell me is, you know, you had shifted your focus off of me and now it's on something else and I want to catch your attention by it. So I'm over here thinking like, man, I'm about to go 0-5 in fantasy football and I'm reading the Bible and I'm listening to worship music. I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm doing everything spiritually right, but my heart is still craving something that I know I don't really need and it's distracting me. And sure enough, you know, God allows me to kind of check myself. And I ask God, I'm like, please, I need a miracle. Like, I'm like Job, right? You win, God. I don't care about fantasy football, but I definitely need you to come through for me. If you truly love me and you truly want me to, like, you know what I'm saying, just shut up, I will definitely shut up if you can just let me win 1 week, God, in fantasy football. And I'm going against the guy who's undefeated. And it's crazy because God's like, okay, you're about to see, you know what I'm saying? So that night, Travis Kelce does this amazing thing, catches 4 touchdowns, and I win my first week, and I'm like on the floor, and I'm like, thank you, God. I just wanted to win 1 week because if not, the guys will be laughing at me. And God's like, that's not just it. So what happens? I win the next week. I win the week after that. I win like 10 weeks in a row and I make it to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, what? I was 0-4. My season is done. Why would I even need to go to the Super Bowl? Like, that would be like a miracle. That would be like it was in the works this whole time, you know? And that's what I'm saying. Is God sometimes, not only does he want to just check you and see where your faith is at and where your attention's at, but God, sure enough, will say, I just want you to know you're 0-4. But the minute that you, you know, say, hey, you know, I was right and I'm back to what giving you all my attention, we're going to make it to the Super Bowl in your little fantasy world that you, you know, play football in. And sure enough, he did, right? And it's still a story I share with my people. You know, I'm like, man, dude, you just got to have faith. Faith over fear, faith over doubt. You just got to allow God to just, you know, work through you in order for him to show you more. And there's so many things that I can talk about. Those are just some things that are part of my testimony because I'm reading through the book, you know, of the Bible. And I finally finished the Old Testament. And it's the greatest achievement in my life, you know. I have my kids that I love and everything, and my wife and my marriage, you know. But having that relationship back with your father, the one who created you, is just something that spiritually, it fills you. It fills this void that I have been trying to fill for the past 35 years, 34 years, you know, when I didn't feel like I had this relationship with Christ. And now it's 2025. God has been so good. He has been so faithful. I give him all the glory in everything that I do. Because of him, I have what I have. Without him, I don't have anything. My health, my family, my parents, my job. It's all because of him. It's all for him. I don't need any of this material things to make me happy. I just want to know. I just want to please God, to thank Jesus for what he did for me on that cross, and to tell me that I have more work that needs to be done. Josue, are you ready? And I'm ready. I pray that this podcast will open your eyes, open your ears, open your hearts to allow God to do the same exact thing. So to wrap things up, I want to thank you for your time, for allowing me to share my testimony. I have so many more things that I could talk to you in the future, you know, and how God is still to this day using the Bible to teach me, to show me, and to give me more testimonies. Because sometimes it's like, Josue, you didn't already use that testimony. We got to refresh it up, you know, an update. So I'd be more than happy to share those with you. I have people that I want to bring on this show and allow them to share their testimonies. So please like this video, like this comment, like this podcast. Do whatever you got to do to help me be able to branch out and let others know that just because we've sinned doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Doesn't mean that it's made God so far away from us. God is right there. He's as close as your shadow. Like, he is right there, present in your life, and he wants to do things, but you have to allow him to do it. You have to let the guard down. You have to let the world go. I guarantee you, it'll be the greatest thing you ever do is whenever you allow God to work fully in your life. I pray for you guys, and I thank you guys again for listening to my testimony. So please reach out to me, and I pray you guys have a good day.